Off the Ball.
Who do you reckon are favourites between Tyrone and Armagh?
It's so hard to call. I think this one is almost impossible.
Have Tyrone done enough to be favourites over the All-Ireland champions?
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Football on Off the Ball
with William Hill. Who you got? 18 plus. See gamblingcare.ie.
Another Sunday kickback after another live and exclusive Premier League game on Off the Ball and News Talk. Stephen here alongside Keith Tracy. Keith, 3-1 it finished in the end to Chelsea. Would you say the better team won?
Yeah, I think Chelsea were much the better team. Don't get me wrong, Liverpool had little periods within the game where they were looking threatening, but overall, when you look at the attacking players, like I know I'm going to say Trent Alexander-Arnold is a right back, but he's basically viewed as an attacking right back, not really at the races in an attacking sense, in a defensive sense, not at the races as usual. I think Mohamed Salah, you know, for his high standards, not really at the races today. Diogo Jota the same. Nunes, when he come on, had a header he should have done an awful lot better with. Gakpo had little patches within the first 45 minutes where you're thinking he's looking dangerous, but overall, Liverpool a yard off it, not as sharp as you would expect. And look, again, I don't think it's any sort of physical restraint from Liverpool. I don't think they're going into the game thinking we're really leggy here, we've had enough. I think it's just the fact that they've won the league, and it's the most natural thing in the world just to think, you know what, we'll come off it ever so slightly. But as I said, there was an awful lot of players, the likes of Endo, Tsimikas, Salah, they all have things to play for. Some people wanting to break into the team, some people wanting to break for their records, but they just were not at the races. But I give Chelsea an awful lot of credit. But when you take Kanate there, you take Szoboszlai, Gravenberch, McAllister out of that Liverpool team and Salah not on form, then it's no surprise they get turned over.
Yeah, absolutely. I suppose it maybe highlights the fact that Arne Slot, as brilliant as he has done this season, he's going to have an interesting summer ahead, because Liverpool certainly are going to need to replace maybe a couple of players in the starting team, but they're going to need a better squad for next season if they are to retain their Premier League title and make a really good defence of it.
Yeah, I think every team will be thinking that, you know, the transfer windows are such a big part of what the season is going to go like. And you look at Liverpool, and it's easy to look at the Chelsea game now in isolation and think, you know what, I'm not quite sure about Liverpool. But over the course of the season, you can't really be too critical of them. I know they fell flat in the Champions League, but I think PSG are looking unbelievable. So it's no disgrace to go out over two legs to PSG, and they've won the Premier League with weeks to spare, almost a month to spare. So very, very difficult to be critical of them. I would say, is Conor Bradley, if Trent Alexander-Arnold does go, which it's probably 50-50 at the minute, it was 100% he's going to Real Madrid now, people aren't quite so sure. If he is to go, is Conor Bradley going to come in as the right back? Do they need another right back? Andy Robertson as a left back probably has another 12 months in him at the top level. I'm not saying he can't go to another club after Liverpool, but you'd imagine with Liverpool, the amount of games that they're going to have coming up, they might want another left back. And again, I look at a six, Szoboszlai, Gravenberch, McAllister. I'm not throwing any sort of criticism at them. They've been excellent this season, but I would love to see McAllister a little bit more forward. Szoboszlai the same, and even Gravenberch, although he's been really good in the six, I think if you push him forward, there's a little bit more to come from him. So a six, maybe a right back, a left back, and an out and out centre forward for Liverpool.
Interesting you mentioned the six, because I was watching Crystal Palace a couple of weeks ago, and I just thought, Adam Morton, this fella is sensational. And not just the Cup semi-final, watched a few Palace games this season, and he looks like just the kind of player that Liverpool would be able to utilise really well. And you feel that McAllister has a lot more to offer if you push him a bit further forward in that Liverpool formation. There's been talk, speculation, I know it's speculation, that Liverpool have been linked with Morton for £50 million. Is he the type of player that would add a lot to this Liverpool team?
I think so. I think it's a match made in heaven. What I've seen of Adam Morton this season, and not just this season, I remember watching him back at Blackburn a couple of seasons ago, and just, you know, my ears pricking up and thinking, you know what, this guy knows what he's doing, the little angles around the corner. Very rarely do you see him getting caught on the ball or, you know, being pressed and being put into difficult situations. And it's that type of player, a David Silva type of player, where he's just never getting pressed, moves the ball constantly quicker than people can press him. And yeah, look, I think he reads the game really, really well. He's by no means the finished article, still a really, really young lad, but he's gone from Blackburn to Crystal Palace to English international, and every single hurdle he's cleared with leaps and bounds. So I'd imagine Liverpool fans would be looking at Adam Wharton thinking, you know what, yeah, we fancy him. Not that there's an awful lot wrong with that midfield, but Adam Wharton, as you said, not exactly a squad player, but just come in, drive the competition on within the midfield. Yeah, it just seems like a match made in heaven to me.
Yeah, and he's a brilliant stopper around the box, isn't he? He's so good at breaking up play, but then he's got that pass after he does so.
I remember I listened to Pep Guardiola speak about Adam Wharton before the semi-final in the FA Cup, and you know, you can look at his passing ability. He seems quite laboured when he runs around, not too energetic, but it's just because he reads the game so well, and for somebody so young to have those pictures in his head is really, really encouraging. As I said, with the potential of the lad, when you look at him now and think 50 million could be a bargain, if it is 50 million, it seems like an absolute bargain given where his ceiling is at the minute.
Listening to the talk around Conor Bradley, there does seem to be a reluctance with maybe, I suppose, former pros or journalists in the game to put him forward as the first choice Liverpool right back for next season, if, as you say, if Alexander-Arnold is to depart for Real Madrid. Why do you think that is? Because I know he doesn't give you that same kind of passing range that Alexander-Arnold does, but he offers something different, because the way Arne Slot has played him, he makes those brilliant overlapping runs around Mo Salah, but he's also very good at getting into the box at the right time as well. He makes the underlapping runs into the area. So while he might not give you what Alexander-Arnold does, he gives you something different from an attacking sense, but also he can defend.
Yeah, he's a much, much better defender than Trent Alexander-Arnold is, but I think moving forward, if Trent is to go, and of course we're not too sure if he is or isn't, but if he is to go, if he is to leave the building, the right back that comes in is not going to have the ability of a Trent Alexander-Arnold. Not the passing range, not the crossing ability, the dead ball situations. I don't think there's a right back in world football that's as good as Trent Alexander-Arnold. And that's all the pros of Trent Alexander-Arnold. But when you think of going backwards, Conor Bradley outweighs him. He's much, much better. He gives you a different threat. He's a lot more pacey going down the wing. I think he's a lot more tenacious in the tackle. I think he's a lot more aggressive. So look, I think Liverpool fans will have to think, look, we might not have the outlet from right back that we had with Trent over the last couple of years, but it'll be a different type of right back. And Conor Bradley, come on, I think it was the 58th minute, and within 5 minutes he contributed more to that game than Trent Alexander-Arnold did. So there's a world where Conor Bradley could come in. I do see him coming in. I think he's good enough to play in this Liverpool team, but you can't be looking at him through Trent Alexander-Arnold ratings thinking he's not giving us what Trent does, because nobody will. But he will do his bit going forward, and he'll defend an awful lot better.
So Liverpool will close out their season home to Arsenal, away to Brighton, and then home to Crystal Palace. I'm sure they'd like to pick up a few more points and get closer to that 90-point mark. Chelsea, when you look at their fixtures, they're away to Newcastle, home to Manchester United, and away to Nottingham Forest. That could be a big, big game if both sides are still battling it out for that top five position. So from that perspective, Chelsea trying to get into the Champions League for next season, how big a win was that today?
It's a massive win. I referenced it in the build-up to the game. It's a huge, huge win. I think the Newcastle game for Chelsea is a huge game, but Newcastle away, it's probably the one team in the Premier League you do not want to play away from home. And I know Newcastle are right in the mix of this Champions League race as well, so they will have a little bit on the line as well. So Manchester United possibly will have one eye on a final. So there'll probably 3 points there for Chelsea if they play like they did today. But then you're looking at the Nottingham Forest game, and as a neutral, I'm looking at that thinking, I hope it's all on the line going into that last game. Chelsea would like to have it done, because not many people have gone to Forest and turned them over this season. They're a very, very tough team. And look, if you're a Chelsea fan, you obviously want Chelsea to get into the European, into the Champions League. But I think all neutrals, everybody's second team this season has been Nottingham Forest, how they've gone about it. So there'll be a lot of will for Nottingham Forest, but they seem to have just come off the boil at the wrong moment. So I think Newcastle will do it. I think Chelsea will do it. I think maybe Villa might just miss out.
Okay, and just on Chelsea, because, you know, when Maresca took over at the start of the season, he was handed this squad of like 40-odd players. He kind of made a decision at the start, which was, right, these are the players I don't want. They're going to be off training on a different pitch, and these are the players that I want. He really, I suppose, coming to the end of the season now, we can kind of see what his best or his first choice 11 is. Do you think it's a good enough first choice 11 looking ahead to next season, the challenge for the title and maybe even for bigger honours?
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, when I was asked about Chelsea at the start of the season and the whole host of players that you had, I thought that's chaotic. It's unmanageable. It's what can you do with that team? There's going to be so many players unhappy on a Monday morning when they haven't played. But what he's done is, and at the start of the season, a lot of people spoke about Enzo Maresca being a little bit heavy-handed with people. You know, when I played, and if you were segregated into a different dressing room, you were known as the bomb squad. That's basically what he's done. He's picked a handful of players and said, look, you aren't my players. But I think if you're like a Chidwell, for example, if you're there, you just want the answer yes or no, do you fancy me? And if the answer's no, you go and do something else. And a handful of players at Chelsea have had to do that. What you don't want is grey area. You're saying, well, I sort of do, sort of don't, not sure. But it probably was heavy-handed, but I think it's worked out for the best. And when you look at Chelsea now starting to find that bit of form, Madueke, Palmer, Neto, it's really, really good. I'm still not sure about Nicholas Jackson up front. He's a decent finisher. He can do bits. And there's moments in the game where you think, yeah, this lad is really good. But there's also moments where you think, I'm not sure what he's seeing there. I think you referenced he was offside a handful of times. And, you know, it's just decision-making at times from him. So I think Chelsea have a little bit to do in the transfer market as well. But, yeah, look, they will win an awful lot of games. But with the youth within the team, they will lose. There's, you know, a handful of games where he won't turn up, and that's enough for you not to win the league. So I'm not sure about Chelsea being title contenders, but Champions League this season, I think, is probably all they could have asked for.
Yeah, and I suppose, look, if they win the Conference League, they will, like, the semi-final is done, you'd say, against Yeargarden. They play either Real Betis or Fiorentina in the final. That could be a tough enough game, depending who they get. Real Betis will certainly fancy their chance of winning it. But if they were to win that trophy, qualify for the Champions League, considering what everybody was thinking at the start of the season about Chelsea, that the season might just fall apart for them with all that trouble in the squad, that's not a bad finish.
It's a brilliant finish. It really is. And I love listening to Enzo Maresca, because when he's asked about title challengers and Champions League, he says, yes, it could happen, but we're by no means satisfied. We want to take the next step. We want to be title challengers. I just love listening to him. And like I said, with the way he sorted out that dressing room, it was a hard thing. And I stand by the chaotic and unmanageable, but the way Enzo Maresca has gone in and gone about and let players know where they stand, I think is what he had to do. And yeah, you can see that it's starting to move in the right direction now.
Cheers, Keith.
Cheers, Dale.
Football on Off the Ball
with William Hill. Who you got? 18 plus. See gamblingcare.ie.